don't know if you've ever been new to something and you wonder why they do what they do. And so the heartbeat today is to really discuss why we do what we do. So why do we gather? Why do we preach? Why do we sing? Why do we give? All these things that are part of the church that we experience on a Sunday morning. But you ask the question, like, why do they do that? And so what we're going to do is really walk together through answering that question, why? And so today we're going to be dealing with why do we gather? Why do we come together and share this time together? And so first I want to just kind of show off a little bit because this is pretty amazing. I don't know if you guys can tell how awesome this is. I am a guy who has an addiction, and I'll just own it. I am addicted to shoes. I love them a lot, a whole lot. And in fact, what I've done just because I love them so much is I've made sure that my kids love shoes as well. So there's that reality. But also we have this thing too where Aaron and I have given space for our kids to create, to like come up with ideas and ways to do new things and stuff like that. And we also have things around the house that we bought for other things, like masking tape. But apparently we didn't need it anymore because it got repurposed. And apparently there's some exercise foam here, and you could tell we haven't been using that, but we use it for shoes. And so all this is here. And you think, well, what's the point in sharing that? And I want to just share this. This is crazy. Like, we love being able to be parents, Aaron and I. And we've been able to be parents. We had our first kid that we were pregnant with back, Norma Grace, and we lost her, and she'd be 21 years old next month, which is crazy to think that we could be parents of a 21-year-old, but we lost her, and then we got to, from there on, we got Isaac, and for 19 years, we've been able to be his mom and dad, and we have Karis and Elijah, and we have sweet Ellie. I'll say sweet just because I really want her to be sweet. And I'm trying to speak life into her. And then we got Samuel, who made this shoe. He's 11. And then Corbin. And here's what's crazy. In our house, because we let them have freedom to just create, they use these gifts, and we're talking like some rando stuff to make other stuff all the time. But it sacrifices something, because if you ever wanted to come to our house, we would probably say no, and it's a courtesy that we're saying no, because there's nowhere to sit. Not because we don't have couches or chairs or whatnot, it's because there's nothing, no space to sit on it, because there is tape and foam and all this other stuff cut out and clothes and excess like parts of shoes, real shoes that have been cut apart and put everywhere. We bought our kids cool toys like those hoverboards, which were really cool for a while there, and these motorized scooters, and all they do is just dissect them and create other things with them, and that happens all the time. If you go to our backyard, which is awesome because we have the Powells on one side, the Johnsons on the other, and they have gotten to the point where they don't even ask anymore. They just know that that's happening. I say that to say what's incredible is we just give space because we've taught our kids how to do things and we allow them to learn how to do it. And sometimes it looks like this, but sometimes it looks like a real shoe. And the beauty of this grace that each of us are getting to celebrate and talk about today, even from the singing of the songs to watching Bailey get baptized, it really is about God's grace and how over time it comes from something like this, which is our best attempt, to something miraculous, where lives are changed, where transformation takes place. And so I hope that hopefully this shoe will really motivate you. Anyways, but this text that Kyle read for us a moment ago really is this picture of God's grace. And so what we want to do is unpack why we gather. And this, the reality, what I love is in this room, there is like that, a lot of like brokenness and just pieces that you seem like I don't fit anywhere, like I don't belong. And but God in his grace says, you know what? I made you, you're made in my image, and I've redeemed you and called you by name, and together with the body of these other people that have been called out like you, we're going to do something miraculous. And so if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to look at this text with me. We're just going to walk down 16 verses and look at some stuff and just really understand this idea of bringing who we are, all our parts, and this puzzle piece. Each of us has got some funky bends and some of our shapes. I don't know, most puzzle piece shapes, if you're not a corner piece, looks like a flat out Lego man. If you think if you were to like really run over a Lego man, it would look like a puzzle piece. And so that's what some of us really are. But together, we're a body. Together, We're the body of Christ. And so look at this first verse with me. And this is from Ephesians 4. And the crazy thing about Ephesians 4 is it follows Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, right? This letter to the church. And Ephesians 1 is this unreal, unbelievable description of the gospel of Jesus and God's grace and sovereign grace, where he chooses people, calls them out, redeems them. And then just if you didn't understand it the way he said it in chapter 1, he kind of says it with, you know, illustration in chapter 2, where he says, you weren't just like figuring things out. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But God, verse 4, being rich in mercy with the love with which he loved us, like he brought us from death to life. And in verse 10, right, where it says, we are his workmanship. The whole reason he created us is to do good works, which he planned beforehand that we should walk them out. And then the latter half of chapter 2 really is this great picture of the unity of the church, which we're going to talk about here in a second, because we're all broken people that have been redeemed by the same blood. Like together, we get to walk in oneness together. And then in chapter 3, which is one of my favorite parts of the book, in chapter 3, there's this like prayer that Paul is praying for the church, that they would so understand the boundless grace of God and the love that he has for them. And he talks about the different ways that God's grace is coming in. And then he prays with, like, closes it out with a doxology. And then we get to chapter 4. And we read this. Paul says, I therefore, in light of this miraculous work of the gospel, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Now, here's what's cool. Here's what's implied. The only way that any of us on this planet could ever walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we've been called is because of the grace of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the option. There's not like two options. The only way that any of us could ever walk out the worthiness that we're called to here is through the grace of God encountering us, because the only way that we can be worthy is to walk in the worthiness of Christ. That's it. But here's what it looks like to do it, though. Verse 2, with all humility. A few weeks ago in James, we were talking about the distinction between humility and pride. And pride is thinking of yourself most, but humility is thinking of yourself less. With humility and gentleness. Now, gentleness is one of those crazy things. That doesn't mean you keep from doing the right things. It just, you're very mindful of the right things that you do, of how you do it. Like, what would it look like for you to be on the other side of you saying truth? How would you want to receive and hear that truth? With gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. This bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain all this is part of the same. I don't want you to see it as different just because there's a number and a comma there. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. How are you able to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace? Well, with humility, just in case you missed it. With gentleness, with patience, and bearing with one another in love, and you're walking this unity out. This is a work of God's amazing grace, that he would so ransom people like you and me, and instead of life being about our chase, our pursuit, it's about his. And we got people in this room who are here, and you guys were early birds, and we've got sacrificial people in the commons there, these amazing young people back here. Like, there's about 20 or 30 of them that came a little later than you did, which reminds me, I want to remind you, by October sometime, we're going to be able to be in a bigger room with space over here happening. But what's great is whether you're in that room or in this room or down the hall or in the other building, together we're the body of Christ. And we need to walk in unity. And that only happens through humility, gentleness, walking with patience, and bearing with one another, right? And so he says it again, and we're going to see it a couple times. He says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. I don't know if you caught this, but there is a quota on the word one, and he's hitting it. But like this idea of unity, reminding us here today and there in the first century that God in his Spirit desires and demands and enables us to be able to walk in one body together because of his one Spirit. as you've been called to that one hope, the only hope that really could ever exist because of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ from the dead, right? This one hope that belongs to our call, this call that we've been called as the body of Christ, one Lord, this one faith, this one baptism, this identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and one God who is Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. If any of us have anything in us that is redeemed, it's because of God alone. It's Him. No other way. It's through Him. One way. He says, but grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, he's beginning to unpack for us this picture of this gifting that takes place from Christ's gift, the ultimate gift of salvation by His grace. That's the only way it's happening. And then to let you know, we're about to go into a few verses in a row that are giving us something that Paul is taking as an example from the Old Testament. And there's a few things I want you to see as we read this. First of all, in Psalm 68:18, he's going to be quoting from there here in a second. But there's also this picture of what would happen when a king would overcome or defeat another army or another nation. And they would, like, their call, especially for the Jews, their call was to not take the spoils for themselves. We see that with Achan and what happened in the book of Joshua. But as a gift to the Lord, like the Lord would use that. And these are His, but He would use those gifts to bless His people. And watch this idea here. It says in verse 8, therefore it says, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives, those that He had taken over, and He had given gifts to men. Now notice this parenthesis that has taken place in the text here. Verse 9, it says, in saying He ascended, what does it mean but that He also descended? Now, real quick, all Paul is doing is stating the obvious of what's implied with one word. If it's implied that saying that He's ascended, the implication is He also at one time descended. And it's saying He descended into the lower regions of the earth, like it says that. Verse 10, He who descended, speaking of this one, this is a picture of Christ in the flesh and the incarnate. This is like John 1:14, and the Word, God, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. He descended, is also the one who also ascended far above all heavens. So we see this contrast between descending to the lower regions of the earth, where man is, where brokenness is, and ascending into the heavens, this contrast there. And here's why He did it, that He might fill all things, the things that are broken, the things that are empty, that Christ would fill those up using the gift that He gave through His grace. How did He do it? Verse 11. And He gave the apostles, those that He encountered, His Spirit dwelt. He gave the prophets, those who would tell this truth of God's work. The evangelists, those that would share these things with lost people. The shepherds, those that would guide people and shepherd them, not just to console, but also to protect from the wolves. He also gave teachers, those who would help people understand for this purpose. This is how He was filling in the emptiness that was there to equip the saints for the work of ministry. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now, this past week, I got the privilege of going to the doctor's office to get an x-ray on my back. And you're like, privilege? Not how I would use it, but whatever. Let me explain the privilege piece. I got to go over there on time, mind you, because I roll like that. I had paperwork filled out for me from my wife, because I don't like details, and she's great with it because I never know what to answer. I know none of you other guys do that, and that's cool for you. But that's my story. So I drove over there to the doctor's office in a car that I didn't build, right? Parked in a parking garage that I didn't build. I also, which is crazy, I walked over and got into an elevator that, praise God for everybody who would ever ride on one, I did not build or create. And I went to, I think, the 9th floor and walked out and made it to this lady at the desk who greeted me with uncommon hospitality and made me feel at home. And then I wait in a waiting room that I didn't build before I ever visited the doctor who helped me understand what's going on with my back before I got the x-ray that I needed that can show me what's going on with my back. And I didn't do any of it, but I benefited from all of it. Welcome to the picture of the body of Christ. You're here today in a building that you didn't build, in chairs that you didn't make. You're hearing this truth that I didn't write, you didn't write. Do you see the point? We are benefiting from the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave gifts to us so that we can benefit and build one another up. Do you see the picture here? And this happens all the time, not just for Sunday mornings. What's incredible about what we get to do at Grace is we get to do it here, right, on a Sunday morning. But we have things that happen on Sunday nights. We have things that happen on Monday nights. 5 days a week in early education at Grace Community School, like things are going down with Grace. But Grace isn't just those things. Grace Community Church is involved in Lindell ISD. Grace Community Church is involved in a bunch of engineering firms and a bunch of oil pumping crazy roughnecks out here. Grace is involved in the car wash business. Grace is involved in people like selling insurance. And you see what I mean? We're all over the place. And together, when we come together, our responsibility is to be equipped for the work of ministry. And we do this together. We bring all our stuff into one place. And you think, what's all our stuff? Well, here's what's cool. And we see this in probably four other places in Scripture, this idea that we have gifts that bring to the table. We have spiritual gifts that God has uniquely shaped and called us and given us to by His Spirit. You have a personality. Many of us have, we flirt with more. But we have this shape about us. That was a joke, by the way. Gosh, loosen up. So you have this unique shape about you. You have these abilities that you paid attention when your parents were teaching them to you, which I kind of avoided that, right? You have all these things that you're bringing to the table, and you're bringing your resources to the table. You're bringing like your testimony of what God has done to redeem and ransom you that's different than the way He redeemed and ransomed me. All this to the table, and we're like, we together are walking this out by faith for the glory of His name. We bring all our gifts. It's not about one God's gift. I would love to be able to lead you in worship and sing a song and play an instrument. But I promise you, you wouldn't. You wouldn't love that at all. But we bring all these gifts together and we say, God, I don't know how. But will you just take what I've got and use it for your name? And keep watching. This is why we do it. He says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. We're doing this for the body of Christ because we are representing Christ on earth. And how long do we do it? Well, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Until we all just get it. To mature manhood. He kind of says it three different ways, right? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until we look like Jesus, we just keep bringing our gifts to bear. We keep equipping. We keep pouring in. We keep leaning in. We keep offering. We keep doing this until we all look like Jesus. Now, theologically, we already understand that declaratively, because of the work of Christ on our behalf, we're already justified before God. But He, by His grace, is continuing to use one another to build us to that end. What I love, and I want to just sidebar real quick to tell you, it's not just something I'm asking you to do, but that I get to participate in. So on Wednesday nights, I go to what Brett Linden calls a barn. We would call a house, a mansion, okay? But he calls it a barn. And we gather there, and other men are speaking truth from God's word to me, and I get to be part of doing that with them. And you better believe I am a better man for it. I do this not because I'm a pastor. I do this because I'm first, before anything, I'm a follower of Jesus. And I need to grow in that way. I would just charge you to own that for yourself as well. Like, there are places to connect and grow. So keep reading. This is great. Watch this. To the fullness of Christ. Why do we do this? Verse 14. And here's the why statement. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. This is why we do this. This is why we continue to be in groups and encourage you to be in groups where the Word of God is shared, where you're bringing your gifts to bear, others are bringing their gifts to bear, and with the Word of God in the middle, you're building one another up to this end so that you're not swayed by these things. And just for fun, to prove that many of us in this room have the temptation to be swayed by things that are happening in culture, have you ever found yourself with your mobile device in front of you and you just continually scrolling through a variety of things and you're like, never thought about that? It's not that that thing is out there, that you're inviting it right in front of you daily, many of us, hourly for a lot of us, inviting the schemes of the enemy in front of us with regularity. So why is it important that we bring all our gifts to bear and we continue to love each other and to spur one another on to love and good works? Why do we do that? Because, man, it is so prominent to be swayed by all these other things, not to mention what's happening in the news. That's just what we're allowing in our hand, maybe, 20 inches from our face, depending on whether or not we're T-Rexes or not. But, this is happening all the time. So it's important, it's vital that we have this word in front of us where we're consistently building one another up this way. Instead of that, I love how Paul does this. He gives the statement, then he gives a contrast to it in verse 15. Rather, or instead, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. We're to grow up into Him, to look like Him, to think like Him, to behave like Him, not to be swayed by the things that the world is throwing at you. Because there is a narrative that is chasing for your attention, and it is doing its best to distract you, because from the fall, we have experienced an uncommon distortion of reality. And we've been invited to more. He says, building up into Christ, verse 16, from whom the whole body, all of us, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, built into, right? Each part is, when each part is working properly, when each of us are doing our part, when each of us are rightly stewarding our gifts, showing up, when we're doing it right and we're actually doing it. Some of us aren't even, doing it right. I'm not even doing it. I'm not even contributing. I'm not even part of the story. When each of us is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. One of the things that's distinct about the body of Christ that should be is the way that we love one another. In fact, Jesus gave that as one of the markers. He washes the disciples' feet in John 13, and he says those words to them, love one another. By this, people will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. Our love for one another makes us distinct. I want you to prayerfully consider a couple of things this week, just to really mull over a couple of things. What would it look like for you to leverage all that God has made in your life? Your testimony, your spiritual gifts, your abilities, the talents you bring to bear, the uniqueness about you, your resources. Again, all these things. And you say, you know what, Lord? I want to steward all these things for your glory. Be part of the building up of the body of Christ, so that we together can grow up into maturity, into Christ. And we build ourselves up in love. The question is, what would it look like for you to prayerfully consider, if you're not, to be in a group, a small group where this happens? What would it look like? And then the second thing to pray for, again, this week, this is what we're going to pray for. The second thing to pray for this week is, what would it look like for you to use the gifts that God has given you to serve the body of Christ? Now, here's what's wild. We get to, in big church, as my nana called it, because that's when I graduated from kids ministry, when my grandma said, hey, you can come to big church now. And I was like, I hope so. I'm 38. I'm just kidding. Not true. But like, we're in here, while we're in here, down the hallway on a Sunday morning with babies to fourth graders, there's 220 kids. Yo. That's a lot of kids. And those kids don't watch themselves, and those kids are not teaching themselves the Bible down there. G56, or fifth and sixth graders, it's about 40 of them. High school, 7th to 12th, probably about 75. This is on Sunday morning. Wednesday night, 7th to 12th graders, like 250 this past Wednesday. Why am I giving you these numbers? Because each of those numbers represent a soul that Jesus came to save. That's why. And those kids aren't discipling themselves. They need you to say, I want to take my gifts and just say, Lord, however, use them. You know what else we got super cool? Probably about a handful of Sunday. We have this thing called Joy Ministry, where God in His grace has allowed us to invest in kids with special needs. And it doesn't just invest into the kids, but also their parents and their caregivers. Like, God trust us that much. Holy moly. We also have this thing in Tyler, because that's where the colleges are located. We have a college ministry. This guy named Max Heller, he leads out in this ministry. And they are reaching college kids. And my boy is doing a phenomenal job of just investing. And not just him doing it, like he's sharing it with volunteers. We have ministry to men and to women. We have a ministry in a variety of areas. We have like ushers that seat you. It's our John ministry, because it's two Johns that primarily do the work. But they would love to have more help. We have people that greet. We have a lot of things going on. But the question is, are you rightly stewarding your gift for the body of Christ so that this equipping, this building can take place? Even our student ministry, junior and senior year, part of that ministry called Catalyst is to teach kids how to serve in the body of Christ. Teaching theology, leadership, and also giving them opportunities to be on the schedule for leading. So church, I would just ask that you pray for those two things. If I'm not in a group, what would it look like for me to be in a group? If I'm not serving somewhere in the body, what would it look like for me to do that? And so let's just pray together and invite our worship team up. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this. Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just so help us see, and that as we pray this week, those two things, you know, amongst other things to pray for, Lord God, that you would just guide us, that you would help us see. And Father, I just ask that you would reveal those things to us, and that when we hear from you, that you would just give us the power to step out and to do those things you've called us to. And Lord, I thank you for those in this room. And I pray that if there's one in here who has not experienced and seen for themselves how your grace is there for them, and it always has been, that you would help them see it, that your Spirit would just help them see, like that you would just uncover their blind eyes. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for your kindness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.